listening to National Rock Review.
Okay, boys and girls, Eric Morris, National Rock Review, coming at you again with some of the hottest stars, both in the past and coming up. And this day, I have a special person on the phone. He's not a typical rock and roll person when you think about it. As a matter of fact, when you hear who's on the phone, you might get the munchies just by proximity. But I won't spoil the surprise. I'll just throw it to the mystery guest on the phone and let him do it best, because if you don't recognize him from his voice, you'll recognize him when he says who he is. So who do I have on the phone today?
Today you're talking to Sendog from Cypress Hill.
All right. Now, you guys are about ready to go on tour and hit a huge amount of shows, and a lot of those are going to be festivals with the time of year that it's coming up. Not only here, but I've seen places that you've booked in France and a few other kind of interesting locations. Are you guys excited to get back out on the road, since I think the last tour stopped in, what, November last year?
Yeah, the last tour finished on Halloween night last year, I believe. We've been off for a minute, so, working on the record. So, definitely, getting out there. There's being in the band and the professional band and tours and everything is a two-sided coin, because, you definitely love to be out there amongst the fans and performing for them. It's something that, drives you, it gives me a lot of inspiration and energy. And then, the recording side, where we're not out there as much, it makes you miss the road, to be able to get out there once again, at Cypress Hill and perform and go to cities, that we don't necessarily visit much, is a great big deal still, 25 years in, and, I still get excited to, perform in these countries and travel places and stoked about people, being excited about Cypress Hill.
Now, I have to ask, since you guys are, you've gone around the block a lot of times and you've gone to a lot of different countries. After the attacks that happened in Paris not too terribly long ago, are you guys looking to kind of, when you go outside the country, is it a different mindset now for you guys? Or are you pretty much just going to keep going the same way you guys have been going since 91?
I think you have to keep going the same way you've been going. If you're gonna let something like that affect you and completely, disrupt a part of your career and let it disrupt your fans from seeing you, I think, you've lost a high degree of the battle of that war there. And, no matter what, freedom is too important to say, hey, I don't want to go there because this and that happened. I think that you have to have the balls to still go out there and still perform, and knowing that, you're not doing nothing wrong to anybody. It's just something that humans do. There's entertainers and there's people that are fans of the entertainers, and if you let that happen too much, get into your head too much, then yeah, definitely it might affect the way you think. But the actual band that performed in France where the tragedy happened, they didn't stop. They're still going at it, and they're refusing to quit or anything else. So I think it serves as a good lesson for all the other bands and musicians that, no matter what happens, you can't let evil beat you. You have to fight the good fight and stand up and continue as you were,
All right, I can respect that. So let's get off this train to No Funville. And you kind of said something that caught my interest a few minutes ago. You guys are in the studio right now with a new album. What can you tell me about it?
Well, the new record is produced by our longtime producer, DJ Muggs. It's quite a few years since we've worked with him. So it's, it's exciting to be back in there with him and his whole approach to, our band, which is a key element of our success, from the beginning days all the way through. So, yeah, it's a cool thing, to be in there with him and working on his style of music, which has his own signature sound, especially especially what he does for Cypress Hill, you know, it has its own signature sound. So to be in there and be able to knock some things out and impress some people that have been able to put, you know, ear to our music, you know, it's really cool. You know, 25 years in, we're still doing what we started when we were 19, 20 with the same people. So it's a definite blast, and I think that being back with DJ Muzz is a step in the right direction. And I think the what we have is going to definitely remind people of that original sound, but it's also it is a futuristic quality to it as well. It's not like we're settling for what we did already. You know, that's part of our blood and our DNA, and it'll always be in there, that feeling. But you also have to look towards the stars and try to get to, you know, the outer limits of the creativity and see what you can find there and take it to the future.
Now, is there any truth to the rumor that the album is got a tentative title of Elephants on Acid?
That is the title of our new record, Elephants on Acid. That's not a lie. It's not a rumor.
Okay.
That's the name of the LP.
Now, how did you guys come up with that? Because it has to be the most unique title of a record I've seen in probably the last few years.
Would you believe me if I told you that we did an acid trip and that's how it came about?
I don't think there's anything else that would be any more fitting than what you just said. Now, I took the liberties when I found out that this interview was going to happen, and I kind of threw a question out to the people that kind of follow me and National Rock Review, and I asked what questions would the fans, if they had a chance to be here instead of me, what would they ask you? And I've got three questions here that if you don't mind, we could just run through real quick and kind of make a lot of people happy. Is that cool?
That's fine by me, yeah.
Okay. The first question, you guys have worked with a hell of a lot of artists through the years. And the one person wanted to know, do you have any plans to work with the Cottonmouth Kings again anytime soon?
Well, actually, the Cottonmouth Kings are really good close brothers of ours, you know, in the same struggle. When the opportunity has came to do stuff with them, we have. So, I mean, I haven't talked to them in quite a while, but, I mean, the possibility is always there if the right situation and the right time, you know, comes along and we're available to do it. We've always been open to work with them, but as of now, there are no plans to, you know, do anything with those guys at this minute.
Okay, cool. Another question was that back in the heyday, he saw you guys for the first time, and there was a 6-foot bong on the stage that it looked like you guys had to use a ladder to make it functional. Whatever happened to it?
That bong is called Excalibur, and we actually, it's right now we're at home in the studio, so it's with us in the studio, you know, every day. So it's still around. It's, you know, it's the put your ass to sleep hitter, one hitter quitter. So we still have it. It's still around, and you know, it's that. I think that bong is as, you know, as known as any of the members of the band, and you know, it has its own anvil case, and you know, it travels under the bus in comfort and all that good stuff. So that's where Excalibur is. It's right in Los Angeles right now.
Okay. All right. Cool. And in the last one, from a very astute young lady, what's the idea behind making two versions of the same song? Is it just strictly one to be able to play off the CD uncensored and another one to get radio play? Or, you know, what's the idea behind making two different versions?
Which particular, is she talking to for particular song?
That it doesn't say on here, but we can guess. Do you make a lot of different versions of the same song?
Yeah, definitely. That has happened before. When you do that is one because you want the unedited, uncensored version. if it's a really good song, which has a lot of potential, you know, the unedited version goes on the album. And then you make radio edits, you know, radio versions, you know, with clean edits, and you try to remove, you know, a lot of the stuff that might not get it played on the radio, and replace it with cleaner words and sentences. And then that's the main reason you would do that kind of, we would do that kind of a thing. Just so good music could still be played. And this is, I'm strictly speaking, you know, FM band radio, because now with the internet radio and all that stuff, nobody cares. They play it how it is. But there still is, you know, commercial radio, and it still is important, if you could get your music played on these commercial stations, to have that happen. So that's why you make clean versions of, like, you know, How I Could Just Kill a Man or something, which was never my favorite version of it, but people still played it on the radio, and it got attention because, you know, we actually made the effort to clean it up so that other people could hear it. But that's definitely why you would do that. Yeah, you know, I don't have another reason of why I would make, you know, two same version of two different songs other than, you know, trying to get more response and more, you know, reaction from the song on regular radio.
Okay, that kind of brings up an interesting point. You guys came out with the first record in 91, and you've been doing this a while. Is what gets played on the radio now, like you said, at least on the FM band, are the restrictions different on what you could get away with back then versus what you could get away with now?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Back then, radio stations didn't want to play any of our songs that had any 420 information on it, you know, and that was, you know, we couldn't say weed, we couldn't say bong, or I'm getting high, or anything like that. And nowadays, stuff like that just kind of like squeaks by, you know. And there were a lot of, back then there was a lot of issues with bad words, like saying, you know, fuck or motherfucker or something like that. You could bleep that out if you have to do your broadcast, but you know, eventually something came along where they were just like, you know, and all of a sudden, that, you know, an effort would turn into something that sounded like, I'm a bad, and you know this, you know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, so that there's those differences now. I think commercial radio knows that internet radio is around, and a lot of people listen to it. So they have to be a little bit more risky when they play music, because they're like, if these people can't hear the songs in its original form, they're just going to go to Sirius XM or Dash Radio or whatever and listen to it there in its original form. So it, in that aspect, yeah, it has changed a lot, you know?
Okay. Now, you guys are going to hit Carolina Rebellion coming in this, May 20th? Or is that Rock on the Range? Do you guys, are there certain festivals like Carolina Rebellion or even Rock on the Range that they have a different feel than some of the other festivals you guys are going to be playing here shortly?
I'm sorry, can you repeat the question, dude?
Not a problem. Do some of the bigger festivals like Carolina Rebellion and like Rock on the Range or Bonnaroo, or you guys have played Rockapalooza or Lollapalooza quite a few times, are there certain big festival shows that have their own individual feel?
Yeah, definitely. It could get to like some places where, you know, you feel like you're doing, it's the same thing, just a different name.
Right.
But then you get to other festivals like Bonnaroo, and that has its own like appeal to it, you know, and that definitely, you know, makes it a different experience. And then, you know, there's other festivals like that around the world too, like Rock and Ring in Europe. During the summertime, and just based on location, and the some festival just happened to have top notch acts all the way through.
Okay.
And there's festivals like that make you feel like you're okay. This is like, you know, you're in the big time here. You're in the pros here. You're dealing with the major league dudes. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. So. Okay, do you guys feel like you bring up a bit of a different, like a switch up? Like, you guys somebody comes out before you, like Disturbed, and then you guys go out on stage and you change it up, and then somebody like Korn comes out after you, do you feel like you could fit in with pretty much anybody at this point just because you've played with so many different people?
Yeah, definitely. You know, that's one thing that Cypress has never shied away from. Our biggest influences, or at least mine in hip hop, were the Beastie Boys, and they could go into any meeting, into any realm, and kill it. And Cypress has the same effect. You know, we could go on in any kind of arena and do well. And you know, getting to be able to be like, okay, you know, we're the only hip hop band on the venue, but you're gonna enjoy this just as much as any of these rock bands you've been watching here today. And it brings up a breakup of what's going on the stage. And all of a sudden, you know, here comes Cypress, and you have a good time with it, and it reminds you of, like, you know, there's nothing different between our band and let's say what Korn or Rage Against the Machine does. You know, it's a good time all the way around. And you got to remember that you're performing at a festival, and at the festival, everybody wants to have a good time. It's a party, so you got to take that attitude on the stage, you know. And you know, it's definitely a challenge, but one that we lived up to. So, you know, we get up there, we do our thing, no matter who's in front of us, who's after us, or who's watching. You know, our aim is to be good and to, you know, leave you impressed.
All right, cool deal. All right, so I know you guys are doing a lot of interviews, so we'll end it on a good note. There are a lot of bands that are getting into vaping and coming out with their own liquids. I have to ask, is there a Cypress Hill strain that's being sold? And if so, or if not, if you had to name the Cypress Hill strain, what would it be?
Wow, that's a good one. There's not one yet. All that there's stuff in the works for that, you know, as we speak. But I don't know about a Cypress one. But if I had to do like a standoff one, I would definitely call it Stendab. You know, that would be a cool one. And I think if we did something with Cypress, there'd be something, you know, with the name Cypress along that goes with it, you know.
Okay, so we'll definitely have to watch out for that for our fans in Colorado and Oregon, definitely. So thank you very much.
I got one.
Okay, go for it.
Got one. How about Hits from the Dab?
All right, you better copyright that one now. So
yeah, I better, Hob. I better beat you to that one.
Well, thanks, brother, for giving us some time, and we will definitely be watching you when you hit the loudest month in music. And don't be shy when that new album comes out. We'd love to hear it.
Right out, man. Look forward for your reaction. Let me know what you think about it.
We definitely will. All right, brother. Thanks much. Take care.
Eric, have a great day, bro.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye.